This is Audible.
Blackstone Audio presents Illicit by Rachel Van Dyken. This book is read by Andrew Iden, Serafina Valentine, Tom Taylorson, and Dake Bliss.
Prologue. Illicit. To evoke or draw out a response or an answer or a fact from someone in reaction to one's own actions or questions. Existence. A corrupt heart elicits in an hour all that is bad in us. Tex. Rage consumed me as I looked around the building. A sea of familiar faces stared right through me. It was as if the past 25 years of my life had held no meaning at all. Had I been nothing to them? Nothing but a joke? The reality of my situation hit me full force. I stifled a groan as I fought to suck in long, even breaths of the stale, dusty air. "It is your choice," the voice said in an even, steady tone, piercing the air with its finality. "Wrong." I stared at the cement floor. The muted color of gray was stained with spots of blood. If I really had a choice, I would have chosen to die in the womb. I would have drowned myself when I was 3. I would have shot myself when I had the chance. You've given me no damn choice, and you know it.
You do not fear death? The voice mocked.
Slowly, I raised my head, locked eyes with Mo, and whispered, "It's life. Life scares the hell out of me." A single tear fell from her chin, and in that moment I knew what I had to do. After all, life was about choices, and I was about to make mine. Without hesitation, I grabbed the gun from the waistband at my back, pointed it at Mo, and pulled the trigger. With a gasp, she fell to the ground. A bullet grazed my shoulder as I knelt, taking time to reach for the semi-automatic on the concrete. When I stood, I let loose a string of ammo. The sound of it hitting cement, brick, bodies, chairs, and anything else in the line of fire filled me with more peace than I'd had in a lifetime of war. I stalked towards him, the man I was going to kill, the man who had made me feel like my existence meant nothing. I held the gun to his chest and squeezed the trigger one last time. When he collapsed in front of me, it was with a smile on his face, his eyes still open in amusement. Chaos reigned around me, and then suddenly everything stopped. When I turned, it was to see at least 20 dead, and Nixon staring at me like he didn't know me at all. But maybe he never had. And wasn't that a bitch? He took a step forward, his hand in the air. "Tex." "No," I said, smirking. "Not Tex. To you?" I pointed the gun and pulled the trigger. "I'm the capo." Part 1. A Rise to Power. Chapter 1. 2 weeks before the incident. Tex.
No, stop!
Mo tossed and turned in her sleep, her arms flying around the bed as if she was trying to punch someone, though really she was only landing blows to the air. With a sigh, I grabbed her fists as gently as I could and whispered in her ear, my lips damn near shaking with the need to caress hers, to make her feel better. "Mo, you were dreaming." Her long lashes blinked against her skin a few times, possibly clearing out the images that had just haunted her rest.
"Sorry."
Her glance fell to my hands as they held her wrists midair, and she jerked away from me and moved to the side of the bed.
"It was just a bad dream."
My touch had once comforted her. She used to crave it. At least I thought she had. It had always been about me and Mo. We were a team. A dysfunctional one. But a team's a team, right? "It's okay," I lied. It was absolutely not okay that she wanted nothing to do with me. That she was scared of me, that she was pregnant and I'd done everything within my power to make it easy on her, even when every day it was harder on me. "Just go back to sleep, and things will look better in the morning." But they wouldn't. She knew it. I knew it. Hell, everyone who knew us and our family knew it. Things never looked better in the morning. Actually, I preferred night. Not because I actually enjoyed sleeping. Hell, if I didn't need sleep, I wouldn't do it. Too many images ran through my mind. Pictures of death, blood, more death. But the real messed up part? I wasn't haunted by the dreams like Mo was. No, I was the exact opposite. Death inspired me. It drove me. It motivated me. Hell, I was the one you'd least expect. Chase even had problems doing some of the dirty work. But me? I was the worst type of person. Because I craved blood like a drug. I craved death. I craved war. I craved it like an addict. And I loathed the days of peace because they reminded me that I was basically an orphan. Unwanted by my family. Unloved. And now? Unwanted by the girl I'd sworn to love for the rest of my life. So sugar plums, Santa, unicorns, sheep? Now that shit didn't fit in my dreams. It never had. Mo moved away from me, pulling the covers up around her frail body. She'd been losing so much weight it was ridiculous. Weren't you supposed to gain weight when you were pregnant? It stung that she didn't want me to go to her doctor's appointment with her. Apparently, he'd said she was stressed. Right, like I could do anything to help that. I was doing everything within my power to fix things, to fix us, to fix her, to fix the family. Nothing worked. Nothing ever freaking worked. Being with Mo wasn't just my peace. It was like I'd finally found someone that got me. Someone who understood who I was, even when I chose not to reveal my whole self to her. One look and I knew she knew. All the shit that went on in my head. But she didn't pester me. Didn't make me explain anything. Just loved me as I was. And now, it was gone. I was gone. There was literally nothing left. My role was no longer fulfilling its purpose. I'd known it for a while now, without wanting to admit it, but the signs were clear. It was time to take my place, time to bring the nightmare to life, to wake the beast, to be what I was born to be. Vito Campisi's son.
Chapter 2. Dreams are believed to be 1/60th prophecy. Mo. I'd had the same damn dream for the past 3 nights in a row. Small details changed. One time I was out in an open field, the next I was in an abandoned warehouse, and the most recent one? I was in Tex's car. The dream started off normal. Tex and I would be laughing and joking around, and then all of a sudden, a gunshot would ring out into the night sky, and I would find blood on my fingertips. When I asked Tex for help, he shook his head and laughed. He said I deserved it. And I always woke up with the feeling that I actually did. I deserved it. I groaned and reached for my phone to check the time. It was only 7 in the morning. Tex and I had been away from the family for 4 days. They'd freaked when we left everyone in Vegas, but I wasn't exactly in the best emotional state to be partying it up and putting on a good face. I didn't exactly possess that talent like my brother did. People could always read my emotions. Thankfully, Tex knew that my face was one of my tells, so he hightailed me out of Vegas and back to Chicago. Though he'd been so freaked about my news, he'd forgotten to tell everyone where we went. So naturally, they assumed we were dead. Because when you work for the mafia, yeah, that's just a normal assumption. I mean, if Nixon was missing, I wouldn't call the cops. I'd call the family to order and start torturing people to find his whereabouts. We always assume death before life. Sucks, but it's the truth. Hey! Tex knocked on the bedroom door. You ready for breakfast in a bit? The plane landed a few minutes ago, so we should probably... get ready? I forced a smile. Sure thing. Just give me a minute. Tex didn't move from his spot in the doorway. His eyes drank me in. He always stared at me like that. Like a man who could never get his fill. I used to love it. Now it just made me feel guilty and sick to my stomach. I wished it were possible to emotionally survive off memories, because if it was, I'd survive off all of ours together.
Hey, Mo, you ready to go or...
Well, damn me. Tex walked into the room. His face went completely hard.
Mo, you look...
Sorry. I blushed, tucking my hair behind my ears. New swimsuit for the summer. You like? I pressed my hands against my hips, then did a little twirl. I'd always wanted a white bikini, but my dad had forbidden it. Until now. He was dead, and I could wear whatever the hell I wanted. Within reason, which is exactly what Nixon had said when he saw me ordering things off the Victoria's Secret website. Like? Freaking love. Tex shut the door behind him and walked slowly towards me, his eyes focusing in on my hips, then my stomach, and finally settling on my breasts. When he reached out, it wasn't to gently touch my skin or caress me lovingly. No, that wasn't Tex. He didn't do gentle. He did hard, demanding, possessive, all alpha, no apologies. So when he grabbed my body and pulled me against him, I expected his fingers to move to the strings holding my top up. Instead, he cupped my face and whispered across my lips, "I've never seen anything so beautiful in my entire life." Heat invaded my cheeks. "It's just a suit." His eyes hardened.
"Mo, listen to what I'm about to say. Nothing is just a suit on you. You don't just wear jeans. You don't just wear a damn t-shirt. Everything you put on your body is so mother effing beautiful that I don't know whether I should hide you somewhere so no one else can enjoy the pleasure of looking at you, or just take you so you know exactly who you belong to."
I shivered in his arms.
"And just in case there was ever a question..."
His hands moved from my face down to the strings holding my bottoms together. With a slight tug, they fell to the ground.
"You are mine."
I blinked in surprise as his fingers gently worked the strings of the top until it joined the bottoms on the floor.
"Now look at yourself, and tell me you don't see perfection. Tell me you don't see..."
He walked me to the mirror and moved my hair, kissing my neck and moving to my shoulder.
"How freaking beautiful you are."
Insecure, I averted my eyes. Tex reached around my body and gripped my chin, forcing me to look at myself.
"Fine. If you can't see it for yourself, look into my eyes. Look at my face. This is the face of a man totally undone. You don't just do this to me."
He slid his body against mine so I could feel the evidence of his desire.
"You make me want to never leave this room. Ever. Your beauty is something to be cherished. Never deny it. Not to me. Not after seeing you like this."
Slowly, he turned my body so that I was facing him. Every hard plane of his body screamed as it pressed against mine, waiting for release. Instead of doing what I imagined Tex would do, he kissed me softly on the mouth and stepped back, even though I knew it was painful for him to do so.
"Now put on some clothes. We're going to be late for dinner."
I was naked. I wanted him. And he was leaving?
"But our time will come, Mo."
He winked.
"You're still a freshman this year, and Nixon would freaking murder me if he even knew I was in here with you, let alone with you naked and giving me those demanding eyes. Believe me, I'm so aroused I can't see straight. But right now you're under Nixon's protection. I want you. But only if he doesn't shoot me before I get to have you."
With another wink, he walked out of the room, softly shutting the door behind him.
And so began the first of many times where Tex chose not to sleep with me. Instead, he seduced me with his words, his looks, his touches. I was damned before I even had a choice. Tex motioned for the bathroom, the movement jolting me out of the sensual memory.
Can you manage on your own, or...
He scratched his head and crossed his chest with his arms. I laughed. I'm only 4 weeks, Tex. I think I can walk to the bathroom without face planting.
Sure.
His eyes narrowed.
If you're sure.
Tex! I snapped. Look, I appreciate the help, but just... Stop. Stop making me feel guilty. Stop looking at me like I'm damaged. Just stop. Look at me like you used to. Like you promised you always would. I suddenly wanted to shatter every mirror in the room. I was stuck at the lowest of the low, and I couldn't even tell him the truth. A muscle twitched in his jaw as he took two large steps towards me.
No. I won't just stop because you say you're fine. I've never done this before. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, okay? I may be an ass, but I'm worried about you. So excuse me for asking you every damn second of the day if you can handle things. I'm having problems handling things, and it's not my body going through this, all right? So if I ask you every half second how you're doing, don't be a bitch, Mo. All right? Besides,
he stepped back and exhaled another curse.
Right now, I'm your best bet. After all, the kid isn't even mine and I'm taking credit for it.
Tears stung behind my eyes, and emotion thickened in the back of my throat as I tried to find my voice. Tex, I'm sorry, I just...
Whatever. Yell if you need me. I'll go start the coffee.
He slammed the door behind him, leaving me in silence. Maybe that was the reason for my nightmares. In all my life, the Tex I knew would never slam a door in my face. He wouldn't raise his voice. He would never, and I do mean never, approach me with as much as a raised octave to his tone. But now? It seemed my entire existence infuriated him. He wasn't the same man I'd known my whole life. Which begged the question, was he ever who I thought he was? Or just who I wanted him to be? Who we as a family needed him to be? War has a way of changing people. But with Tex, the thought lingered. What if he's been just waiting to strike? What if... We invited the enemy in our very own home, only to be infiltrated from the inside out. Things had been brought to my attention over the last 3 weeks, disturbing things, if they were true. I chewed my lower lip in deep thought.
Mo!
Tex yelled from the other side of the door.
30 minutes! Get moving! You want to look your best.
I saluted the door with my middle finger and made my way into the bathroom. My reflection killed me. It really did. Because on the outside, I looked the same. Dark, silky hair that fell to my mid-back, bright blue eyes, a sharp, feminine jaw, high cheekbones, and olive skin that I'm pretty sure every girl would kill for. Just, hopefully, not kill me for. Sad. That the thought actually entered my head. Then again, I'd had a lot of threats to my life within the past few weeks. Just more secrets to hide from everyone. I lifted my shirt and patted my flat stomach. What would it be like to bring a child into a family of war instead of peace? What child of mine, or even Texas for that matter, would have a shot in hell with the information I just learned?
Was it even fair to bring innocence into our blood-stained hands? I shook my head and tried to snap out of it. Nixon would be expecting his sister, the typical smart-ass, sarcastic, slightly narcissistic pain in his ass. And right now I was acting like Eeyore. Snap out of it, Mo. I took a few soothing breaths and turned on the shower. Time to put on a show. Time to fool them all. Again.
Chapter 3. Blood is always telling. It holds the key to our existence. It holds your life, and eventually your death. Tex. I gripped the coffee cup so hard my hand hurt. The scalding burn of the liquid through the porcelain was the only thing that made me feel better. Great. I was officially turning into a masochist. Hell, maybe I'd always been one. I'd have to be to keep going back to Mo and praying that things would be different. But every damn time it was the same. She offered me a piece, when I wanted it all. And then she'd gone and cheated. Not that I was really able to stand on a soapbox about that one, considering I'd cheated first. But still, I had cheated one time to acquire some information, not because I actually enjoyed getting smothered by someone who smelled like cheap perfume and wore red lipstick on the outside of her lips. I shuddered and took another sip of coffee. The second time I'd cheated, I'd done it purposely, to piss Mo off. Better than break her heart. At least if she was pissed, she could shoot me and get it over with. But that had been a gargantuan error. You know, because I was still freaking obsessed with her and all? Right. Good move, Tex. Just make her hate you enough to go and sleep with some effing bastard stupid enough to get her pregnant. Shit. Had she even checked for STDs? How did I even broach that conversation with her? Shuddering, I took another long sip of coffee. Thankfully, I'd made it strong. Hell, I probably should have added whiskey to it. Nixon would need it. We would all need it after shit went down. I checked my phone just as Mo came breezing into the kitchen. That's what she did. She breezed. She never did something so common as walking. It would be impossible for her. Every movement was fluid, purposeful, graceful. It was distracting as hell when the person you were in love with moved like some sort of goddess out of a mythological tale. She was my Aphrodite, my Athena. I freaking worshipped that woman. But our relationship was like the nerd of the class trying to date the popular girl. I think, in essence, she felt sorry for me. Then again, I'd never let her know the real me, so maybe it was my fault. Tex? Mo approached, tilting her head to the side. Black hair swirled across her shoulders. Did you hear what I said? Nope. Too busy being distracted by those hips. Sorry, I was just thinking about what I was going to say. Mo's eyebrows drew together. Just stick to the story, right? Right, I repeated. Damn, she didn't even realize that with every look she pulled another string. I was like a puppet, and I hated that analogy because I'd felt like a puppet my whole life. I'll just say we're in love. Mo nodded slowly, her eyes filling with tears. And that I messed up. My teeth clenched. That I'm so freaking in love with you I didn't use a condom? Is that what you want me to say? Help me out because I really don't think that's a good plan, Mo. Not if you want me to live in the foreseeable future. Mo rolled her eyes, the tears turning into amusement. Well, maybe don't use the word condom. Right. I offered a smile. How about I tell Nixon that I wanted to beat him at something, so I decided to get his twin sister knocked up. At that, Mo laughed out loud. You what? A voice roared from the door. I closed my eyes and hung my head as Mo's face froze into a smile in front of me. Right? In love. Happy about baby. Happy, happy, happy. Shoot me in the mother effing face. I turned and opened my arms. Friends, you're home! What the hell did you just say? Nixon roared, throwing his bag so hard against the countertop it skidded off and collided with one of the chairs, nearly sending it through the window. His hands barreled into tight fists as he stomped towards me. Friends? I offered, backing up so that Mo was behind me. If Nixon pulled out a gun, I'd take the bullet. She knew that. I knew that. Nixon most likely knew that, which probably meant the odds were I was getting shot in a few seconds. Nixon grabbed me by the shirt and pushed me against the countertop. The hard granite bit into my back, making me momentarily wince. He pushed harder. My skin was going to get rubbed raw if he kept doing that. I pushed back a bit to give us some space. We were pretty matched for height and strength. I could have fought back, but I owed him this. He couldn't beat up the guy who actually did get his sister pregnant, so he might as well use me as the punching bag. Ha! Story of my life. The freaking abandonado punching bag. Fantastic.
What did you do?
Nixon's voice damn near shattered the windows as he slammed my body against the counter again. The granite scratched against my back for the third time, the sharp slice of pain in the small of my back telling me the skin had been pierced. Yeah, I was going to start bleeding all over the floor any second. Nothing, Mo answered for me. I peered around Nixon and glared at her. It was my fight, not hers, because she'd made it mine, so she needed to stay the hell out of it and let me protect her. Wouldn't really call getting you pregnant nothing, Mo, but to each his own. The minute my lips formed a smile, I received a punch in the jaw, then another. My bottom lip was sliced by my own teeth, causing the blood to start trailing down my chin. Nixon, stop! Mo wailed. Please! The metallic taste of blood filled my mouth. With a jerk, Nixon released me. I grabbed a nearby towel and wiped my face. Chase walked into the kitchen, hands raised. Nixon, calm down. Yeah, not something you say to the boss. Nixon turned his rage-filled eyes on Chase and pulled out his gun. Stay out of this. Nixon! Trace pushed Chase out of the way and moved in front of the gun that was aimed for Chase's heart. Aw, family drama. Put the gun down. Let them talk.
Trace?
Nixon's jaw flexed. His teeth ground together.
Stay the hell out of it.
No.
She crossed her arms. Not until you put the gun away. Swear his ice blue eyes turned the exact color of hell, flashing completely black before he waved the gun around.
Does no one listen to me anymore?
Nixon looked around the room.
If I want to shoot Chase in the face for defending Tex, I'll do it. If I want to shoot Tex because he touched my sister, I'll do it. I'm the boss. Rules don't apply. And right now, I'm jet-lagged and a bit pissed off that that jackass...
He pointed the gun at me, just in case there was any confusion as to which jackass he was referring to.
Basically just admitted to getting my sister pregnant.
As if remembering about the fight to begin with, Nixon let out a groan, low in his throat, and moved towards me again. This time the gun was homed in like a beacon to my head.
Tell me she isn't pregnant. Tell me you did not just ruin my sister's life. Tell me, Tex. Tell me.
I eyed the gun. Are you really going to kill the father of your soon-to-be niece or nephew? Nixon hesitated, his eyes narrowing.
I didn't say I was going to kill you. I could shoot you, and you'd still be perfectly fine. Maybe walk with a limp, but then again, that would be a reminder not to do stupid shit. Don't you think, Tex?
I'd known Nixon my whole life. He wasn't bluffing. I nodded my consent and braced for impact.
Go ahead.
His teeth clenched as he gripped my shirt with his free hand and pressed the barrel of the gun to my shoulder.
Don't mind if I do.
The shot rang out like a bomb going off in the kitchen. The impact burned like hell, the bullet lodging somewhere between my clavicle and my deltoid. Everyone started screaming at once. But I held Nixon's gaze. I didn't blink. I didn't yell. I made no sound whatsoever. I was a hitman. Hitmen didn't cry. Made men didn't cry. The only remaining descendant to the capo did not cry. Liquid started staining my shirt and dripping down my chest onto my stomach as I waited for Nixon to say something. Anything. I probably needed to stop the bleeding before I passed out.
Clean yourself up.
Nixon shoved a towel in my hands.
Meet me in the living room in 15.
He slammed the gun on the counter and grabbed Chase by the arm.
Get the bullet out and pull some morphine from the stash, but don't give him too much. I want him to feel every damn punch. As Nixon walked out of the room, I did what I'd always done in the family to alleviate tension. I made a joke. Welcome home, Nixon. Mo groaned into her hands next to me while Chase gently grabbed my arm and ripped my shirt open so he could look at the wound. Tex, your humor isn't helping the situation. Not this time. Made Trace laugh. I pointed with my good arm. Chase looked behind him and shrugged. She doesn't count. She laughs at commercials and butterflies. He turned back to me and froze. I smiled as Trace held the gun to his back. You were saying, Chase? Damn, this family's violent, Mill said from her corner near the door. But seriously, Trace, put the gun down. I want my husband to live so he can get me knocked up someday. She winked. Chase paled. Mill, I babbled, nodding like a bobblehead hitman. Have I told you how much I love you? Because I do. I really do. Mill rolled her eyes. You're getting blood on the hardwood, rock star. Let Chase clean you and drug you. Trace and I will make the popcorn and grab the whiskey.
Chapter 4. Lies are almost impossible to repeat backwards, because whatever you're lying about didn't really take place, making it so your brain creates no memory to pull from. Mo. Chase took Tex out of the room, most likely to shield us from the cursing that would take place once he pulled the bullet out of Tex's shoulder. I shuddered. My fault. Everything was my fault. One stupid choice. One moment of weakness.
What's wrong, dolce ragazza?
He took my hand in his and kissed my open palm.
Your face isn't normally so sad.
I shrugged. Oh, you know, the life of a mafia princess. Lots of drama and broken crowns. His face fell. I'd always thought of him as some tragic hero. The way his features were framed made him look like a soldier, or hero from King Arthur's court or something. He always acted that way, too. Like he was a hero. Too bad I knew all his secrets. I looked up into his eyes again. Definitely too bad, because he was gorgeous.
Sit, he ordered. Drink.
Drinking won't help, I said dryly. Believe me.
Wine.
He scooted the bottle closer.
It always helps, no?
Yes.
No.
He teased and winked.
Seriously, Monroe, you need to take better care of yourself.
Right, I'll just schedule that pedicure when I get home. Happy? I pushed a wine glass towards him. Everyone else was in bed, but I was awake. Awake and oh so blatantly aware that Tex had brought home another girl. I heard her moans. I heard her screams. And then they turned into mine when I finally couldn't take it anymore and got the hell out of the house. The only place I knew I could go that was actually safe belonged to my family. It was one of our many investments. A fancy bar and grill a few miles away from the house in one of the nicer subdivisions. I knew some of our men would be there blowing off steam. They'd recognize me, and if anyone tried anything, they would shoot them first and ask questions later. I hadn't expected him to be there, however. He rarely went out in public. And that was when it hit me. Nixon sent you, didn't he? I licked my lips and stared at the red liquid as he filled my glass. He didn't answer right away. Instead, his strong hand reached for the stem of the glass, his fingers wrapping around it, caressing the smooth surface for a minute.
And if he did?
I shrugged. He leaned closer until I could smell the warm, swirling scent of honey and whiskey on his breath.
And if he didn't?
Then my voice shook.
That means you've been following me? Like a stalker?
Stalker.
He laughed and leaned back.
I like the sound of that. Stalker of the Abbandonato family gem.
I rolled my eyes.
What? He whispered, tucking my hair behind my ear. Don't tell me you think I'm full of shit.
His lips grazed the same ear. When really I've been watching you your whole life. Always close. Always ready to attack. Always ready. Ready for the time.
The time? I sucked in a breath. For what time?
He pulled back, his eyes snapping to my mouth. For the time when you finally say my name. When you finally need me.
And that time is now?
That time was 6 months ago.
His voice dropped lower.
But I'm a patient man.
And that was it. He released his hold on me. His sensual gaze took in the people around us, and then he pointed to my glass.
Drink, Monroe. We have much to discuss.
Mo? Everyone's in the living room waiting. I figured... Trace's voice trailed off. Well, I figured you'd want to make sure Nixon doesn't kill him.
Right.
I nodded. Be right there. With shaking hands, I pulled out my phone and sent one simple text. Me. It's done. He replied back immediately. Gee. Good. I knew I could count on you to get the job done. You're an Abbandonato after all. For what it's worth, thank you. Me. Don't mention it.
Chapter 5. Getting shot hurts. The end. Tex. I licked my lips and winced as I tried to stand to my full height. This was going to hurt. That much was true. Just shooting me wasn't going to appease Nixon. Had the positions been switched, I would have done the same, possibly worse, because I was a possessive son of a bitch, and I loved Mo with my whole heart. Well, at least the heart that wasn't in hell for all the crimes I'd committed. The truth, Nixon paced in front of me. All of it. I need to hear it. Mo swayed into the room, her face pale. I offered a wink of encouragement. I had this. I had her. I wouldn't let her down. I love her, I nodded. I made a mistake. Mistakes happen. Condoms don't protect 100% and please, Nixon lifted his hand in the air. Spare me a sex ed lesson. Pretty sure you're the last person who should be giving advice on safe sex. The room fell into a tense silence. My voice cracked. Well, that's basically everything. Don't tell me you weren't aware of our extracurricular activities. Nixon's eyebrows shot up. Swear they almost went through his forehead. That's what you think I'm upset about? Next to me, Chase groaned and took a step out of the line of fire. Nixon let out a laugh that was anything but amused. You son of a bitch. I should just end your life right now. Tell me not to do it, Chase. Chase didn't say anything. Bastard. I glared to my right. Chase kept his face impassive. Great. I officially had no fans. Even Mill and Trace were silent. Thanks, Mo. Really so awesome to be hated by the only family I've ever known because I'm protecting you and some prick's unborn child. Felt good. It was all good. Totally what I deserved. After all, I was a Campisi. We freaking breed mayhem. You, Nixon spat, were in bed with two girls, not one, two. His nostrils flared. Not less than 3 weeks ago, so yeah, sorry if I'm a bit pissed that you were screwing my sister while you were screwing every whore within a 50-mile radius. His fist went flying, hitting me square in the stomach. I hunched over and puked as he hit me again and again. Unable to hold myself up anymore, I collapsed onto the floor, holding my stomach so that I wouldn't puke again.
Enough, Mo said quietly. Nixon, enough.
It will never, he said in a hoarse yell. Be enough. Never. Do you hear me?
He lunged for me again but was stopped by Chase, because apparently he wasn't as heartless as I'd first assumed.
Walk away, Nixon.
Chase grabbed Nixon by the shoulders and directed him towards the door. But Nixon wasn't having any of that. He fought against Chase so hard you'd think I'd actually killed Mo rather than getting her pregnant. There were worse things in the world, weren't there? I mean, didn't we face death every day?
Nixon.
Mo cleared her throat. Her voice seemed shaky. Damn it. She was afraid of her own brother.
Tex didn't do anything wrong. He simply gave me what I asked for.
Say what? Wow, good to know the story changed from something totally believable to mass insanity. I was as sure as dead.
What do you mean?
The anger had faded slightly from Nixon's voice. Mo shrugged. I missed him. We slept together once for old time's sake. That's all it took. It's not Tex's fault I seduced him.
Yeah, I would have loved to be a part of that seduction. Freaking loved it. Too bad it didn't happen, because Mo was a dirty little liar.
I basically attacked him.
She looked down at her feet. Was she blushing? Seriously?
He didn't really have a choice but to appease me, and we all know Tex. He doesn't choose himself. He always chooses me, every single time. To a fault. I'm his weakness.
Something about the way she said it didn't settle with me. Because if she knew that, others knew. Which meant I was a giant-ass chicken walking down the middle of a road directly into oncoming semis. Damn her. I hated that all of the weaknesses in the world, hers was the one I couldn't shake. The one I couldn't overcome. I would never conquer my love for her, ever. I could die tomorrow and her name would be the last thing to cross my lips.
That true?
Nixon directed the question towards me. Mo's gaze was intense, as if she was praying I wouldn't take the higher road and say, "No, man, it's my fault, I messed up." Instead, feeling like a jackass, I nodded my head. Nixon put the gun down and shoved his hands in his pockets.
You'll do the right thing still, right, Tex?
The right thing? My head snapped to attention. Even Chase looked confused. His eyes pinched together, causing a line to form on his forehead. I looked at Mo for help. Realization must have dawned because her face went white as a sheet before she launched herself into Nixon's arms.
No, Nixon, no, you can't make us.
Chase, Nixon barked. Make the arrangements.
I raised my hand. For my funeral? Is that what we're discussing? Kind of in the dark, man.
Maybe to you?
Swear Nixon's eyes were dripping black as they pierced through mine. But some may call it a celebration.
What?
I repeated.
The hell is going on? Do the right thing.
Nixon popped his knuckles.
Unplanned pregnancy out of wedlock.
My mind did the calculations. And apparently 2 + 2 really does equal 4. And I was screwed. I wondered how bad it would be to marry someone who you loved with so much of your soul that it hurt to breathe, only to know that you're her second choice, or maybe not even a choice in the first place, just a happy replacement until something better came along. I wasn't so sure I could live with that. And suddenly I felt like Chase did all those months ago, when he was in love with Trace. And I couldn't understand why the hell he was acting like such a hormonal woman over his feelings when he had bigger things to worry about. But that's love. It makes you feel.
Don't,
I whispered.
Please, Nixon. Anything but this.
He tilted his head, his eyes narrowing as he examined my face.
Thought you loved her.
I do. My answer was quick, confident. But she doesn't feel the same way about me.
Then she should have thought about that before she jumped into your bed, don't you think?
He sidestepped me and started barking instructions to Chase about the marriage. Words like tonight, make it fast, and hurry were not ones I ever wanted associated with what should have been the most important day of my life, the most special day of hers. I looked down at her flat stomach again, my eyes wishing they could peer at the tiny soul that had been created. I was protecting the innocent, even if that made me the guilty. I was doing the right thing, even though I was pretty sure I was traveling down a road I would never be free from, to a destination that would feel a hell of a lot like constant torture. Would I lay down everything I was? Everything I had to offer to protect someone who didn't give two shits about me? I stared at her face, the one I dreamt of every night. Yeah, I would offer her everything, and in return take nothing. Story of my life. I give, they take. I give some more, they take it all.
Chapter 6. Hearts weren't meant to be broken. Mo.
Are you mad?
My voice cracked. I might as well have yelled, the room had been so silent. Tex wasn't speaking to me. He wasn't speaking to anyone. The light had officially died from his eyes ever since earlier that afternoon, and it was all my fault. It wasn't intentional. I'd do anything to protect my family. Anything. Even if it meant damning both of us in the process. Am I mad? Tex repeated, his muscles rippling across his arms as he flexed his hands and then made a fist with his right, punching the bed lightly. No, not mad. Mad would mean I was crazy. Nuts. Madness assumes the person is one step away from insanity. I think what you're asking is, am I angry? And more importantly, is said anger directed at you? That was a really long explanation. I tucked my feet under myself and leaned against his muscled shoulder. Everything about him was larger than life, from his body to the way he spoke. Tex didn't do small. He did big. He moved his hands when he talked as if he was preaching at a Baptist church. He laughed like it might be the last time he did so. He made love? Well, he made love like he believed in it. Like there was nothing in the world he'd rather be doing than spending time pleasuring me, exploring me. He made me feel special. And in the end, that had been my downfall with him. I was owned by him. No longer me. I'd gotten kind of lost in his bigness, so I'd backed off. It helped that I'd had a good excuse. He'd cheated. Though later on, one of the men told me the truth. He'd done it to get information about Mill's family. Would have been nice to know it at the time, but I was too damn upset to say anything. Upset with him. Upset with me. And scared. Yeah, I was really, really scared. Terrified. And I couldn't even tell him why. For what it's worth, I shuddered. I'm sorry. Do you love me? He asked. My entire body seized. Did he just ask what I think he did? Mo, do you love me? It's a simple question. And no, I don't mean love me like the way you love Chase or Nixon. Do you love me? Do I own your soul? Your heart? Do you love me? Forget all the shit that went down with other girls. Forget getting pregnant. It's just you and me. Do you love me? Breath got caught in my throat. It was like my lungs weren't working. I tried to answer him, really. My mouth was open and everything.
I couldn't lie. I couldn't lie. Please, God, don't make me lie. In that moment, I wished for death. Anything would be better than doing what I had to do.
I've been watching you for months. I think it's time to play my cards. He leaned forward. Just how important is protecting your family? Would you die for them? All of them? Go to the ends of the earth to save them?
Yes.
I slurred.
What did you put in my drink?
Just a little concoction.
Believe me, it won't hurt.
It will just make things a lot less painful and allow us to keep a close eye on you.
Something sharp hit my arm. I looked down. Why was I bleeding? What was that? A needle the size of something I'd only ever seen on TV poked through me, and something pushed into my wrist. I screamed in pain. He held out the glass.
Drink.
I drank. I had no choice. Do you know who he is? He asked, and then laughed.
Of course you do. Everyone does now that the capo has been killed.
See? See how I'm already laying out my cards on the table? Now, let me tell you how this is going to work.
No,
I whispered into his chest. When he tensed, I slid up his body and whispered in his ear.
Volpe.
Tex's eyes immediately flew to mine. A bit of understanding dawned, but it was enough. He'd put me in an impossible position. But in that moment, I could at least offer him hope. Because things weren't at all what they seemed. And by using my word, the one I used to scream when I was little, when Nixon was trapped in the torture box my dad built, when I was locked in my room, Tex knew exactly that. A war was coming, and he was the target. He just didn't know it yet.
Chapter 7. Impossible, also known as trying not to love the person who holds your heart. Tex. Volpe meant fox in Italian. Mo had a fascination with foxes when she was little. Okay, so maybe it was more of a fixation. She liked their tails. At any rate, it was the word Nixon told her to use when she was either afraid or something was suspiciously wrong. It was the one word I knew she would never use, unless she truly meant it. The only problem, was she afraid of me? Of the situation? Or was she suspicious that things weren't as they seemed? I didn't have time to think any further. A knock sounded at the door, and then Nixon burst through.
It's time. Grab your shit.
Wow, good afternoon to you, too, I sang.
It's 9 in the morning. His eyes scanned the room. Let's go get the ceremony over with.
Just like that, I whispered under my breath.
Did you say something?
Nixon asked, his voice even, his eyes blazing with fury. Nah, man. I rose from the chair in the corner. I'd been drinking by myself in that chair, sitting at the stupid courthouse just waiting for someone to tell me it was time. Just thinking about how excited I am to be your brother-in-law. Take that, bitch. Nixon scowled and held the door open for me.
Please, I'm already going to have nightmares after today. Don't make it worse.
You're going to be an uncle.
Tex.
That was me making it better, I snapped. Because regardless of how you feel about me right now, or even about Mo, there's a child, okay? A child that has our blood. I pushed against Nixon's chest. Our blood. Our family. We protect our family. Nixon hung his head, licking his lips.
You're right.
I know. I gripped Nixon's shoulders. Don't make it worse than it is.
You've had your fun, you shot me in the shoulder, beat the shit out of me, and made me bleed. You've taken out your anger and you've let me take responsibility. So for the love of God, can we please just hug it out and be friends again? Because I'm scared as hell, and I can't do this alone. Nixon nodded, and then grabbed my face with both of his hands and kissed each cheek. Welcome to the family, brother. Now I finally get a family, I joked. Nixon didn't laugh. Instead, his eyes softened. Oh, hell no. The last thing I needed was for him to feel sorry that I was an orphan. I gripped his shirt and jerked him close to me so that our heads almost knocked. Look at me like that again and I'll get your sister pregnant again just for the hell of it. You son of a bitch. Nixon knocked his head against mine, sending me sailing back against the wall. Oh, look, a candlestick just got impaled into my shoulder. Damn it. Too soon? I winced. Tex, Nixon roared, just as the door to the room opened. Boys? Trace peeked her head around the door. Everything okay? Everyone alive? Sad she has to ask that, huh, Nixon? I winked. Mother-loving son of a... Nixon, Trace grit her teeth. Leave it. And just like that, Nixon did. I never imagined I'd see the day where badass Nixon Abandonado would be shut up by a woman. But miraculously, he put his gun away, thank God, and walked over to Trace, softly pulling her into his arms. Jealousy surged through me from every angle. I looked down, immediately ashamed. Let's go. Trace's clear voice rang out. Family's waiting. Numbly, I followed them down the hall and into the small room where the Justice of the Peace was waiting. Mo was standing as stiff as a board in front of the room. I wanted to weep. And I wasn't a guy who let emotion take a hold of me that often. I was more of a believer in emotion being a weakness. But she was so pretty. Not beautiful. Pretty. Like something my ma would have told me not to touch when I was little. Something so precious that I couldn't play with it. Instead, it would be set far away from my grubby little hands. I wasn't allowed to touch, but I could stare all I want. I could memorize the lines of the object. I could visualize what it would be like to be with it. I could even want it, love it, obsess over it. But I could never, ever possess it. I took purposeful steps towards Mo and gently grabbed her hand, clenching it in mine. Yes, her choices might be the reason we ended up in this position, but I'd started the chaos. It wasn't her fault she didn't know when to get off the train, because the thing about going over 100 miles an hour all day every day, eventually you forget you actually had a destination in the first place. You forget to get off. And that was all on me. I'd put us there because of my job, and I'd kept her there out of selfishness. Never realizing I was damning us both to a marriage of something worse than convenience. Unrequited love. Because I'd love her until my dying breath. But Mo? It was entirely possible by marrying her, I was keeping her from loving someone else. From being what she should have been. What she was good enough to be. I was keeping her in the family. The one place she swore to me she wanted to escape. Welcome to the Mafia. Blood in? Well, isn't that just the shitty part? There is no freaking out.
Chapter 8. Words bring both life and death. Mo. Shaking, I pushed the wedding band that I hadn't even chosen onto Texas' finger and repeated the vows. My voice was hollow as I promised to spend the rest of my life with him, in sickness and in health. I wanted to collapse under the pressure, the weight, the fear. When it was Tex's turn, I looked up. I shouldn't have, because his eyes, those green eyes framed by perfect, long, dark lashes, gazed into mine, and I was lost in a sea of desire. It hit me so hard it was difficult to breathe. Gasping was all I seemed to be doing. Taking in huge gulps of air, only to remind myself I had to actually exhale, too. He'd loved me once. Would he ever love me again?
forgive me? Even though he was looking at me like he wanted me, I knew the truth. I'd driven a wall between us. I wasn't sure if Tex wanted to scale it. I wasn't sure I deserved to have him try. Protect him. At all costs, protect those you love. That was my mantra, the one my ma had taught me when I was little. And God, I was trying so hard.
In sickness and in health, for as long as we both shall live.
Tex finished, his voice cracking in the end as my fingers trembled in his hand.
By the power vested in me, I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Vito Nicio Campisi Jr.
Tex visibly winced at the sound of his name. His real name. The one his father had given him. His very dead father. The one he'd shot not 3 weeks ago. I gave him a reassuring smile. It did nothing but turn his eyes to ice.
You may now kiss your bride.
Everyone clapped awkwardly while Tex stepped closer to me, tugging my body against his. Slowly, he leaned down and kissed me briefly on the cheek, before stepping back. My body screamed with the injustice of it. Not even a real kiss on my wedding day? Not that I deserved it, but it was Tex. The final nail in the coffin had been smacked into the wood. Tex never did things like that. He was the peacemaker. He was the one that made me feel like everything was going to be okay. He was my constant. And I'd hurt him. I would have fallen into hysterics right then, had I not turned around and seen his face. Swaying, I stopped walking in time to gather myself. But it was too late. He was already walking towards us.
I think congratulations are in order.
He grinned, then pumped Tex's hand. After a brief exchange, he tilted his head in my direction and grinned that devastating grin.
And Mo, looking as beautiful as ever.
Thanks. I stepped closer to Tex.
Thanks for coming, Sergio.
Nixon hit him on the back.
Your family. You should be here.
Sergio's crystal blue eyes cut straight to me.
There's no place I'd rather be than where I am right now.
I sucked in all the air I could and forgot to exhale. Only this time, it ended up with me collapsing to the floor.
Chapter 9. Truth always finds a way out. Tex.
What the hell? I grabbed Mo's body right before it crashed against the floor. Mo? Mo!
I shook her and then pulled her into my chest.
Baby, talk to me.
Panicked, I kissed her mouth, urging her to wake up. Her lips moved against mine as she let out a moan and then jolted back. If I was being honest, it kind of scared the hell out of me. I hated not knowing what to do in this situation.
Mo!
Sergio's voice was laced with concern as he leaned down next to me and slowly touched her face. It was such an intimate caress that I was momentarily dumbfounded. And then, like someone hitting me in the chest with a freaking 2x4, I staggered back, nearly landing on my ass.
You! Had Mo not been in my arms, I would have shot him. I didn't give a rat's ass that we were in City Hall. I'd go to prison gladly.
Sergio's brows furrowed together in confusion.
Me what? You did this.
His face paled.
I did not cause her to faint. Not that.
Tex. Nixon put his hand on my shoulder. It's been a long day, and... Mo stirred.
Tex. Sorry, I just... so hot.
Can you sit up?
I asked in the gentlest voice I could manage, which just so happened to sound gruff and irritated.
Yeah, I can get up.
Mo struggled a bit as I helped her to her feet. Chase came up behind us with Mill. Everyone was hovering, and I was sick of it. Guys, give her some space. I kept my eyes locked on Sergio's. The bastard had no right to be staring at what was mine. I stepped around Mo so I was directly in front of him. With a grunt and a curse, he stumbled back.
I'm fine, guys. Really, I'm
The sound of glass shattering pierced the air. I covered Mo with my body and looked up just in time to see Chase grunt and then fall to the floor, followed by the judge who'd just married us. Only there was no getting up for him. He'd been shot in the head.
Chase!
Tracy and Mill yelled at the same time while he held up his hand from the ground with a thumbs up.
Get the girls out!
Nixon roared, grabbing me by the collar of my shirt. Mo tripped as I pulled her to her feet. Trace and Mill kept their heads covered as they ran towards the door. Sergio pulled out his cell phone and followed me out, then started barking orders in Italian to his men. Well, at least he'd brought backup. Then again, why the hell would he need it? Police filed down the hall just as Nixon and Chase emerged. They were both smiling and laughing like they'd just gotten wasted at a party.
Split up,
Nixon growled. The smile fell from Chase's lips as he winced. Mill ran up to him.
I said,
Nixon's voice lowered,
split up. I've got Chase. Girls, you go with Tex and Sergio. We've got this. Make the calls.
He pointed his free hand to Sergio.
Get one of your men in here to look at the cameras.
An officer ran up to us. Sir? He directed his sir to Nixon, who sighed and pinched the bridge of his nose.
Let the chief know we were getting married. After the ceremony, two shots rang out. Silencer.
He tugged at Chase's shirt.
I pushed his hands away. Let me.
With a rip, the shirt weakened under my grasp. The bullet had lodged in his left shoulder.
Ah, we're bullet twins.